Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Good morning, Black Twitter. Do you know what today is? Do you know what today is? It's our month-iversary. Month-iversary. This is going to be a great show. Beauty Jackson of the Good and Terrible and Superlicious podcasts is joining us later, so I'm excited. I told you I was kicking this up a notch. Boom. Y'all, Good Morning Black Twitter is 1 month old. Well, technically, the month anniversary was yesterday, but I've been fighting PMS all week, so just go with it. It's been a long month. There have been a lot of lessons learned. But as they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And the longer tea steeps, the stronger it gets. So this show is just gonna get better and better. With that being said, I do want to let y'all know that after this week, Good Morning Black Twitter is going to go from being a daily morning show to airing episodes on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Don't worry, it won't always be this way, but for now, this will help me deliver a better show to y'all and also save my sanity. Two birds, one stone. Once the show picks up, we can get back to daily episodes, and hopefully by then maybe I can hire some help, like some producers. Maybe a couple writers, some social media interns. A team for Team T. That would be great. Let's put that in the universe as a thing that should happen for Good Morning Black Twitter. I really do appreciate y'all tuning in, and I'm just gonna work to get better at this with each passing month. By the way, as I always say, whether you're watching or listening to this show, subscribe and rate it. I'd appreciate it. Especially on the month-iversary episode. I mean, that's like a birthday gift. Come on, how could you not? Okay, so you know how I'm always saying you should go to goodmorningblacktwitter.com and sign up for the newsletter because there's going to be awesome stuff? Well, there's finally something special available for those who have subscribed. Be sure to check your email and you can find out how to redeem your special gift. And if you're thinking, Jeannie, I subscribed, there's nothing in my email about a special gift, this special gift was for certain subscribers to the newsletter who have a certain member rating. How do you get a member rating? Well, you subscribe to the newsletter. When the newsletter comes, you open it, you look at the content inside. If you didn't get anything this time, don't fret. There will definitely be future rewards for newsletter subscribers, and they won't all have the same qualifications. Just know that you have to subscribe to be eligible for any newsletter perks, and to improve your newsletter member rating, be sure to open the newsletter and check out the content. Okay, so I'm gonna jump right into introducing our guest of the day. I'm very honored that she agreed to join our show. If you're part of Black Twitter and you don't know about her, you're missing out. She's the host of the new Superlicious podcast and one half of the brilliantly hilarious Good and Terrible show. Please welcome Beauty Jackson. Hey, Beauty.
Thank you for having me. Hey, girl. How you doing? How you people doing?
Okay, so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is because you're also a creative person. So my first question to you is, when did you realize that you're creative?
Always. I always made up stories. As a child, I was a prize liar. but even outside of that, I just kind of saw things bigger. You know, I saw when I always, for as long as I can remember, I knew how to read. And shortly thereafter, I was always scribbling. I was always writing. And I started writing in first grade, like writing creatively in first grade. And my parents would find these little notes around the house and they would laugh, you know, obviously, because it's, you know, this, I'm 5, 6 years old talking about weird abstract shit. And so, you know, they would squirrel them away or whatever, and it would make for funny stories when we were, you know, when we would get with the family or whatever. And around fifth grade, when I realized that other people saw me as creative outside of my family, I'm sorry, sixth grade, I wrote, can't even remember what I wrote. I think I wrote the assignment was tell us your feelings about spring. And I just wrote, you know, and my teacher, she asked me if I wrote it. She was like, who helped you write this? And I was like, I helped me write it, because I did not have the parents help you with your projects. Like, I had the lamest projects and stuff in school because my parents were like, oh, really? That's your project? You better do what you do. And that was it. So and that's when I realized, okay, I think I have a knack for this. And I just really kept digging in to that. And as I got older, I want to say like 13, older, relatively older child, that's when I realized I liked the stage. So I did speech and debate. And then as it slowly creative writing,
You know what? Just go with it because
no problem.
I'm here. No,
I don't want to. No, they just, that's erasure, real live erasure.
Is it because I'm black?
Yes. So it and so it was just as I got older, it was creative writing, acting, and I did more of the. I mean, I was really good in acting, but I kind of liked writing better than actually being on stage. I mean, I have a knack for it. I have a knack on the mic, but I like creating the entire thing. I found that I liked writing plays more than I liked being in them, even though I was good at both. And I had kids pretty young, so I didn't really get to explore. I didn't get to do the young person, maybe I'll try out acting thing, maybe I'll go to New York thing. I had for my sisters to take care of and then my own kids to take care of. It was like, okay, you got to get a job. So I didn't really delve into acting or any of that, but I could still write. That was something that no one could take away from me. And that was the thing I stuck with. And fast forward to, I guess, 3 years ago. 3 years ago? Yeah, 3 years ago. That's when the idea of podcasting was first implanted with by my, actually my networking partner, Classic Materia. That's when he invited me as a guest on his podcast, and that was when I got bitten by that part of it. And that entire segment of media was something where, you know, we talk about as Black people, our voices are ignored and we don't have space. And I realized I can create a space, and it might not be a large space. It may never be a large space, but it'll always be a space that I can create to talk about the things that I think are important and to talk about whatever in a way that I deem respectful and that will respect other people.
Okay, so piggybacking on that a little bit, when did you realize that you're funny?
That's another thing I always knew. My dad is this really kind of stern dude, and I was the one who could make him laugh. Like, not just laugh, but like spit take laugh. And if I could make him laugh, I figured I could make anybody laugh. And that was just, I was the family clown. I was the class clown, but I was also, I read a lot. So it wasn't like I was being a clown to mask something else. I was kind of being funny because that was how I expressed myself. I expressed myself through humor. Even when the caca is hitting the fan, I still look for the joke because I have to laugh. You know, I have to make myself laugh, and it tends to make other people laugh. I always knew that. And of course it's also, you know, when you see people, you're talking and you're trying to tell just a straight, serious story, and people are literally tears in their eyes. I'm like, I'm serious, but okay. Because apparently my facial expressions get to people as well. My facial expressions and my pauses and all that. So it's just one of those things that I kind of accepted.
I can totally relate to that. I'm one of those people who has a million things running through their mind, but only one of those things makes it to my face, and whatever expression that is, that's what you're gonna get. I might not be the one with the witty comeback, but I'm probably the one with the shady facial expression.
The other thing for me was I was a really funny looking kid. It took me a long time to grow into my face. And people were like, oh, no, you were. I was like, no, I was rough. And so when you're rough looking and you're a kid, you're going to get these jokes. So you can either cry about it, and I wasn't going to do that. You could fight about it, and I did that, and I was kicking ass, but I was staying punished. Or you can clap back. And so once I realized, you know, I had enough practice, I'm like, oh, I'm good at that. So this is what happens to the people you bully, kids. They always got these jokes.
See, the bullied kids and the silent kids, we're the ones you should be betting on.
For me, it was a lot easier to, once I realized I could turn things into a joke, it was a lot easier to realize, okay, I don't have time to joke, and just kind of ignore it and let it roll off my back. So people can say some fairly terrible things to me. And since it's kind of going to come off, you know, I've already thought of like 3-4 jokes on it. It's like, it's not even worth it.
Now, do you find it easier to be funny verbally or funny in writing, like in tweets? For myself personally, I kind of find it easier to speak than to write. They're just two different sides of my brain, I guess. But do you find that they're just two separate approaches for you, or one big thing and just two aspects of the same thing?
It's different. It's different aspects. I'm lucky enough, and I try not to, because I think different people have different social gifts, social abilities, or desire on how they socialize. And I'm an extroverted person. And I'm also, you know, I'm a reader and a writer. So I have that on screen, you know, on computer screen, whatever, but I'm also extroverted and enjoy being around people. And that kind of just carries on. Like what you see on Twitter, it's not my persona. That's why sometimes my timeline comes off very irritable, because I'm irritated. I'm not putting on for Twitter. Today is a shitty day, and I don't feel like getting off Twitter. You get off Twitter. And so that might be what you get. You know, so it's just kind of part of, or not even kind of part of who I am. It is a part of who I am, which is why I will take breaks, or why I might seem very standoffish or somber or whatever, because those are the things, there are things that I keep very privately. Like I talk about my kids, but there's an extent to that. I do not talk about my relationships at all. I just don't. People have different reasons for whether or not things are secretive or whatever. I just don't do it. But outside of that, once I realized that I had a voice, I wanted to usefully, so that people didn't realize, like, you can express yourself and you can be funny and whatever else, and it's not a front. This is, you know, we're real people. I think part of why I am the way I am on Twitter, and there's not like a Melanie or a Beauty Jackson, is because to me it's important that, you know, there's a real person behind the screen name with feelings and fears and everything else. And so that's why I think I'm a little more consistent, because it's just once I realized that I was heard, I was being seen, I never wanted people to forget that I'm a human being.
Speaking of being heard and seen, I love what's happening specifically on Black Twitter right now, where everybody seems to be finding their way to tell their own stories and express themselves and just get it out there and own what they want to do.
And the other thing that I liked about it that I didn't even expect to happen was how so many of us have grown in our sensitivities. Like we like to say about like old Twitter, you wouldn't have survived on old Twitter. Okay, but maybe old Twitter shouldn't have been that way. You know, there are some things that happened that were just harmful. And I think being exposed to more things, being exposed to different cultures, different lifestyles, it teaches us to deal with one another. And that's how you really gain sensitivity. Like when we talk about inclusion and all these things, part of it is because we just weren't exposed to certain types of people to know this is offensive. This hurts me. This is funny, but it's not funny for you. Like, there's all these layers that now we're exposed to. And it's not that we've gotten softer, it's that we've gotten more aware. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Okay, so as something who's been doing this media thing for a while now and has been growing as a creator, what's something you didn't know you didn't know?
I didn't know that I could ever get tired of creating. I didn't know that I didn't know that creating could get tiring. I would get tired of it. And not so much from a standpoint of I want to quit, but just from a standpoint that I got it, but I'm not going to give it. I just know today is closed, because I always, like, it was always my dream. I figured if I could do what I want, if I could write, and I would just have this space, and, you know, I had all these big dreams of what type of creator I would be. And, you know, you read all these things where if you're a writer, writing burns like a fire in your belly. You can never, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a fire in my belly. And I really just want to smoke weed and watch cartoons. And that's what real niggas is doing today. But I did not know I would ever feel that, because I had never felt that for years, because for a long time, creativity was a thing. It was like this, it was like dessert for me. You know, it wasn't the meal. And now, to be perfectly honest, my 9-to-5 is dessert, because it gives me money. Like, it's how I put food in the fridge. That's the dessert. But what I create is my meal, because long after I leave this job or the next job, if I have to get another job, I'm still going to be a writer. Long after I retire, I'm still going to be a writer. I'm still going to be looking to promote new voices. And that's a big responsibility. Like, that's a, when I look at my entire vision, it's a weighty obligation that I'm taking on. And sometimes I just can't do it or don't want to, or just need a break. And I never thought that would be a thing. I thought that was one of the perks of working for yourself. You can set your own hours. Yeah, I can set my own hours, and I still don't want to do them.
Yes, a woman with a plan. I love it. Tell everyone where they can keep up with everything you're doing.
You can find me, of course, at beauty_Jackson. Please say the underscore. RedBeanDreams.com, like I said before. CSPN.us. Super Luscious is on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much wherever you get in your podcast. Ninja Ons, you can find me. And in your earbuds somewhere. I'm going to be all over the place. So I'm honored that you had me here. Thank you so much.
Aw, thank you so much, Beauty Jackson, for being my first guest. I'm forever grateful to you. Once again, don't forget to follow Beauty Jackson on Twitter. That's at @beauty_Jackson. Don't forget the underscore. That wraps up this episode, but I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you back here on Monday. Happy Monthiversary, Black Twitter.